The parable of the unjust judge is a well-known one. Its basis is in what was then, and unfortunately is still now, a very common problem in much of the world, simply not being able to get a fair hearing. These days, sociologists will call it the barriers to access to justice. And Canada's not immune. We have people in this congregation who are part of the justice system, and I'm sure they could cite instances where the system seems at best unresponsive. The laws delay, as Shakespeare says. The huge disadvantage of not being able to pay for good legal advice or representation. The complications of how to navigate what seems like a very complicated system. Fear of retribution if you make a formal complaint. The deliberately intimidating atmosphere of court buildings puts people off. Now, don't get me wrong, Canada has a far better and more accessible justice system than most of the world. And I know it and I appreciate it. But even in Canada, we know there are issues, and bless those who work to make justice accessible and fair to all. In Jesus' time, the issues were far deeper. The widow in this story is being treated, she knows it, and if only she could get a hearing, the judge would have to rule in her favour, but she can't get a hearing. So, in the story, she just tries to wear it out. We call it stalking, I think. Have you ever had a kid who just whines on and on and on about something in the hope that eventually you'll give in just to make them shut up? That's what's going on here. The gospel writer tells us that this is Jesus instructing his disciples to keep persisting in prayer, even if it feels useless. Though calling God an unjust judge is a bit of a leap for a Jewish audience, but they certainly would know the feeling that God isn't listening, isn't acting quickly enough. The Psalms are full of the cry, God, give us justice. How long will we have to wait? Where are you, God? Does that strike a chord with you today, too? The prophets so often condemn the leaders for injustice, for taking bribes, for refusing to protect the interests of the powerless against the powerful. The rights of widows and orphans is a repeating theme precisely because they were so vulnerable in that society. If you don't have a man who can speak for you in public, if you don't have money to hire a lawyer or to give a suitable token of respect for a judge, then it's easy to be taken advantage of. Our Thursday Bible study has been reading Genesis, and we've just finished the story of Joseph. Do you remember Joseph, the technicolor dream coat? If you know that, I'm afraid it shows your age, but Joseph was the younger and the very spoiled son of Jacob and Rachel. He was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, but became head honcho in Egypt, second only to the god-king Pharaoh. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's troubling dreams for him. He predicted there would be 7 years of wonderful crops in Egypt, followed by 7 years of total crop failures. So for those 7 good years, Joseph taxed the people, stored up a huge amount of grain, and waited. And after the first year or two of crop failures, when the common people had exhausted all their own stockpiles, then Joseph sold them grain in exchange for their money. And when they had no money left, he sold them grain in exchange for their remaining livestock. And when they had no livestock left, he sold them grain in exchange for their ancestral lands. And when they had no land left, he sold them grain in exchange for their children and themselves as his slaves. As his slaves, Joseph was now responsible for making sure they had food. They're his property. But now the entire land and everything in it was the personal property of the Pharaoh and of Joseph as he lived. Only the priests were exempt. This story is told in Genesis very matter-of-factly. That's just the way it was. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Oh well. Near our own time, we have quite a few prairie folks here. The dreadful drought of the 1930s on the prairies would have been in your grandparents' or great-grandparents' time. But are there still bitter stories told of how hard-working farmers lost everything to the banks? From what I've read, there was at that time a huge bitterness against what was perceived to be the rich men, and I mean men at that time, of Montreal and Toronto, who controlled the financial system and who looked for their own profits and cared nothing for the ruin that they brought on the prairie folk. The feeling of injustice, the feeling that you have been whatever vulgar words you like to use, the belief that you've been treated unfairly strikes deep and stays long. There are plenty of places around the world where what we would consider ancient injustices of your grandparents or great-grandparents or hundreds of centuries ago are still passed down generation to generation. When we talk about God, we generally talk about the emotional side, as it were. We talk about faith, we talk about love and hope and our personal relationship with God, all the spiritual things, and that is good. That's very good. We are called to be the people of God. Our actions spring from our faith. But Scripture talks of practicalities too. In the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot more about money than he ever does about marriage, for example. Jesus often seems more concerned about food than about faith. Jesus heals sickness in body as well as soul. Now, today's parable has a happy ending. The judge does not have a change of heart. The judge still does not care whether or not this wretched widow has right on her side. It's probably a very minor matter for him. He just wants her to go away and stop bugging him. So fine, I'll sign it. Well, that worked for her, that the next widow might be less fortunate. The parable writer sets this up with God as the uncaring judge and the believers, you and me, as the persistent widow. And the message is we need to keep on praying and working even when we don't see quick results. Now that is a good message. But we can also reverse it. Imagine it's you and me who are the judge. Whose voices are we ignoring? Could it be God who keeps on nagging us, demanding to be heard? Which voices do we listen to, or which do we disregard? Now, there are a lot of voices out there clamoring for our attention, and a lot of them simply want to sell us stuff we don't need. We can and should ignore them. But who is calling us for justice? people maybe that are rather uncomfortable to listen to. But who deserves our attention? Now, you and I are not in a position to make rulings or define the law, but we can and we do have some influence. Tomorrow, most of us have the opportunity to vote for the next leaders of Canada, who will be passing laws, making rulings. Things that will affect justice and injustice in our land. The opportunity to vote is something that people have fought and died for. Around the world, they are still fighting and dying for the right to have fair and free elections. Please don't treat that lightly. You and I may not be able to change the world. Not today, maybe not even next week. But we can each do a part. In your own life, in my own life, what voices, what calls for justice can I respond to? Sometimes the problems that we hear about seem just utterly overwhelming. It feels there's nothing we can do. We can do something. We can't fix the world, but we can do something. What can we do? What should we do? How is God calling you, calling me, here in Whitehorse, in our own little individual lives? May God bless us as we think about these things.